This is A Mexican Crossing Lines. Hello and welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines with your guest, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And I wanted to start off today with something a little fun, a little funny. This is the season of Christmas, and folks are trying to go shopping, and folks are like, you know, putting up their Christmas tree, their Christmas lights. I don't know if you saw the show when I was talking about Christmas, but me and you are not big Christmas people, are we, Duke?
No, bah humbug.
Talk about how we do Christmas right here.
Oh, Christmas? Well, it's Cindy's birthday on the 23rd, and that's a celebration. we've been to Mexico numerous times for Christmas, and celebrating Christmas in Mexico has been excellent. And, you know, that's what I remember from the past 7 years. Hasn't been a really big deal. It's a very commercialized holiday that I don't respect doing that in our lives. And so we have to deal with people that are participating in that, and we just don't do it ourselves.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people have a problem with anybody that poo-poos Christmas. So I'm not trying to poo-poo your Christmas. In fact, I want you to see how much I am not trying to poo-poo your Christmas. I'm going to give you... It's a pretty funny little skit, and I can't do it the way that Liam Neeson does it. But basically, he's auditioning for Santa. And, you know, he's always like this action hero type that goes and saves people and kills people, and he's always shooting things. And so he does his whole, like, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice, you know. He's like gangster. And then he says, I watch you when you're sleeping, I know when you're awake, you know. So we were talking about the way that the holiday forces people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. You know, people are, I feel forced to participate in all of the commercialization and the getting the Christmas tree and sending the card. I want to liberate myself from that stuff. I want to liberate myself from being forced to participate in Yuletide celebrations at a time when I don't feel that the world is right. I feel like the world is messed up. I feel like we're living under a surveillance state, under a fascist police state, that we in this country and around the world have a lot of problems. So I would like to be able to kind of forego any of that forced celebration of something that doesn't really have anything to do with me. Now my entire computer is frozen on me. It hates, everything hates me. So you guys, if you watched my show yesterday, we were talking about the surveillance state, and a lot of you asked me really great questions. Well, not me, Tim. We were talking about the surveillance state. You guys had a lot of great questions for us. He answered a lot of those for you yesterday, but not all of it, not all of them. So here is what we're going to do about that. So a lot of you sent me questions and said, hey, I thought you were going to give us some tips on how to protect ourselves. Well, I don't know if you noticed, we were having a really, really hard time. Did you see how hard our show was attacked yesterday? It was insane. And even our internet, it was all of our systems have been messed with. I don't know why this, my special guest, Tim, yesterday, that's not his real name, but Tim is going to be back on with me very soon. Okay. So he's going to be able to answer more of your questions. Here's the first steps though. The first thing that we did was discuss what's happening. Remember when we had Dane Wigington on? When we had Dane Wigington on of Geoengineering Watch, is that correct? .org?
Yes.
Geoengineering. I want to make sure I don't give out the wrong website because there's two of them. But Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org came on the show and was telling us some really scary things about what's going on. If you guys are watching my live feed and you notice things that are weird, please record it with another device. Let's keep track of this. Send me the video of your problems so that we can address this. So I wanted to tell you guys that the first critical step to solving the problem that we have is making everyone aware of the problem. That's how the whole thing at Standing Rock started. The first group of people that came to Standing Rock was very small. They started out there in April. There was no media except Unicorn Riot. They were the first ones down there in the ground. And nobody in the media was paying attention to what was happening there. Nobody in the country was, nobody in North Dakota was paying attention to what was happening at Standing Rock. There was a few activists that were watching what was going on with the Keystone XL pipeline and other pipelines. And so they knew what was happening over in Standing Rock. But other than that, there was nobody. What was critical about how the indigenous youth and the leadership at Standing Rock disseminated the message and requested assistance is that they made everyone aware first. Thank you for sharing in Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada. Aho. And thank you for sharing in Washington, the Lummi Nation. You guys are always helping us out. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Hola, Tom. And so what we need to do first is make everyone aware, because most of your friends, most of your relatives, most of your family members, they don't know that we are under this level of surveillance in this country. That yes, people can be targeted just for talking about certain things that the government or the police don't want us to talk about. Don't forget, when Philando Castile was murdered by a police officer in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities area, mm-hmm. when that guy was murdered by a police officer and it was live streamed, that changed everything. It changed everything on Facebook. I mean, we had seen people put things on live stream on Facebook before that, but nothing that was so immediate, so shocking, so alarming, so horrifying. Mm-hmm. The ability to show police abuse and brutality, murder, as it was happening. No one, not even the news, has been able to bring you coverage like that. So for Facebook to allow law enforcement to encroach upon your rights to communicate through live streams, through Facebook, through social media, is a serious danger to our freedoms, to our democracy, to our rights of self-expression. And we can't allow that. We cannot allow it. But the first thing we have to do is to make people aware of it. So that's our first step. Everyone needs to know this is happening. It is real. And we all need to start documenting it so we can hold people accountable. Thank you for sharing in Cape Cod. And, also, I from Scotland. Did I do that right? I probably didn't do that right. So they're saying I from Scotland. And Austin, Texas is also here. La voz de la gente del mundo. Ajo, prima. Gracias. This is what we're going to do. We're going to start making other people aware of the surveillance state, share my show with other folks so they can see what's going on, and then also my upcoming show with Tim again, mm-hmm. which we're going to discuss software. We're going to talk about apps. We're going to talk about ways in which you can put things on your device to monitor who's watching you so that you can watch the watchers. Hello, Chantel, out in Utah. Thank you for watching. Please share this out. So Also, I'm going to be bringing you an interview with Kelly Love, one of the people that was recently in the courtroom along with 10 other people, 11 people that went to court, who all had their cases continued. There is so many things wrong right now. So many things wrong right now with the way that the cases of water protectors are being handled in Bismarck. Everything from the prosecutor to the requests that he is making that water protectors not be able to talk about environmental impacts or about treaty rights. The fact that they're denying people the right to use counsel from outside the state, especially given that we don't have that many criminal lawyers that don't have conflicts of interest that are available to handle cases for water protectors. I still am getting calls and messages from people that have to come back for court that are they don't have a lawyer and they can't find one. So they're asking me, like, do you know anybody? And I'm like, yeah, but like there's only one guy. There's only one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is this a case that is very unpopular for lawyers and other people in the state because they have conflicts of interest. This is the state of the oil boom and bust. This is the state where people have been worshiping oil and extractive industries for a long time. They're in bed, whether it's because somebody in their family is working in the industry, because they are working in the industry, because that's how the people in their business make money, or because that's where their advertising money comes from. Whatever the reason, they're not invested in making sure that our watchers are doing their job, that our regulatory bodies are actually doing proper regulating, that the reporting in the state is accurate, that our government isn't in bed with corporations and basically run by corporate interests. Here in North Dakota, anything goes.
Plus, they're having trouble with the jurors. They have very biased jury pool. I mean, some of the questioning of jurors is like, I want those people to leave town right now. And the judges are hostile. You know, it's to get a fair trial. And today there was actually, two people had their day in court, and they were found guilty of a criminal trespass. And
I heard that.
They were ordered to pay about $1,200. And one of the comments from the judge was, well, you're going to have to get a job to pay these fines. You know, and the talk is like, what the judge is assuming the person doesn't have a job, and water protectors don't have jobs, which mm-hmm. water protectors have jobs. So it's a very, very hostile environment. I expected that, you know, that the whole judicial system in North Dakota is going to be hostile to water protectors. There's over 550 people facing trials. You know, so this is a pretty big deal, and they're going to have massive amounts of people in the court at one time. There's going to be procedural problems like there were today. And, you know, is someone going to appeal their case for a $1,200 fine? They have to do a year of unsupervised probation. Mm-hmm. I mean, these charges are being trumped up, and they're expected to pay every penny back of their defense that is done by the public defender.
Yeah. So this is why I'm doing a show about bullies and bigots today, because this country has become a country run by a bully and a bigot that is empowering all of the bullies and the bigots in this country to feel like they can just run roughshod over people that are minorities or marginalized in some way in this country, the vulnerable people of our country. And I don't think that we should allow that to start to seep in. I don't think that we can stand by and watch as fellow community members are attacked by strangers, or people are harmed by hateful language or even violence in our communities. It's already happening. It's already happening everywhere. It's happened here in Fargo and Moorhead. It's happened in Grand Forks. Grand Forks had some serious hate crimes. It's a really hate-filled city, Grand Forks. And you know what? They don't want to have a human rights commission that talks about the violations of human rights in Grand Forks. They don't want to have one here in Moorhead anymore either.
Yeah.
as the hate in this country goes up, the bigots in this country say, we don't have a problem anymore. We don't have any problems anymore. So that's why we have to talk about how we deal with bullies and bigots. But first, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, I wanted to tell you, my daughter, going back to the Christmas thing that we were talking about at the beginning of the show, it never worked for me, but I do have an article for you. And we were talking about how angry it made us to have to deal with Christmas. And my child said that, you know, Santa Claus and his elves are part of the surveillance state. And I was like laughing. I'm like, oh, shut up. And no, it's true. It's true. And I made a joke about the Liam Neeson thing because he said, I know when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. You know, that's what Santa Claus says. And then he goes on to say, you know, he's the eye in the sky bringing down fierce justice, immediate justice. And the director says, yeah, but he's also bringing toys to children. He's like, not the naughty ones. Hmm. So there's this tradition in America where they have like the elf on the shelf. I'll share this article with you guys. It's not BS. It's totally real about the elf on the shelf. Okay. Totally real article in the Washington Post. And it's called The Elf on the Shelf is Preparing Your Child to Live in a Future Police State. Real story. So that elf on the shelf, I know these things seem like harmless. Oh, what could happen, right? What could happen? But it is, in a way, conditioning us to have somebody watching you so that you're a good person, right? And that you're supposed to be watched. And I won't go too much into the detail of the story about the elf on the shelf. But this person that this parent ended up throwing away the elf because it was so disturbing to their child that this is one of the things that she wrote. She said, Elf on the Shelf presents a unique and prescriptive form of play that blurs the distinction between playtime and real life. Children who participate in play with the Elf on the Shelf have to contend with rules at all times during the day. They may not touch the doll, and they must accept that the doll watches them at all times with the purpose of reporting to Santa Claus. Right? This is different from the more conventional play with dolls, where children create play worlds born of the imagination, moving dolls and determining interactions with other people and other dolls. Rather, this hands-off play demanded by the elf is limited to finding but not touching the elf on the shelf every morning. It's kind of sinister if you think about it. And acquiescing to surveillance during waking hours under the elf's watchful eye. The elf on a shelf controls all parameters. Controls all parameters of who can do and touch what, and ultimately attempts to dictate the child's behavior outside of time used for play. So this parent ended up throwing away the elf on the shelf because it was freaking their child out so badly that the child was behaving differently as a result of the fact that they had the elf on the shelf. Hmm. So, you know, going back to the surveillance state that we were talking about, this is something that we need to not, you know, I say this about the elf on the shelf tongue in cheek, but it really is. We've been conditioned to accept slowly but surely. Yes, there's cameras everywhere. Yes, there's cameras all over our cities and towns. There's cameras on the light poles. There's cameras mm-hmm. outside of businesses. There's cameras on cops now. There's cameras everywhere. And you just have to accept the fact that you're going to be watched at all times, even in your house. So that by the time that people start hearing about the surveillance state and how people are being monitored all the time, and we know because Snowden has told us, Edward Snowden has told us of the sweeping NSA capture of data that is, you know, your text, your phone calls, all of your information, without the presumption that you're doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And that should be troubling to all of us rather than something that we just accept that, oh, okay, I guess, well, you know, that's how life is from now on.
Yeah.
If you have comments and questions for me, please drop them right there in the comment section, and I will try to address them. I want to get to some of the comments and questions that we had from our audience before. Can you play one of those and see if I can address it?
Okay. These are calls at on the call-in line that you can call. Here, I'll give you Ellie.
Hi, this is Ellie Langford. I watch your feed on Facebook. I just wanted to let you know that I had made a donation to you. Aww. I did it at duke@kppfm.com via PayPal. If you could let me know that you actually got that, I would appreciate it. I donated in behalf of myself and my sister, Stephanie Boley, White Dove. I hope you have a wonderful day. Look forward to your next live feed.
Cool. Yes, we did get it. Thank you very much, Ellie.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate every single dollar, every small donation, every big donation. It's how we continue to do our work. It's how we continue to exist. We don't have any corporate sponsors.
That's right.
We don't have any ad revenue. We're nonprofit, non-commercial, so we are completely donor supported. And another call here from...
it would be Lulu.
Lulu.
And, you know, if you want to call and leave a message for us, you call us at 701-566-0917. Call us at that number, and we will play it on the air like we're doing right now.
Oh, and if you want to donate to us, if you want to support us, you can go to our kppfm.com page and click on the donate link.
That's right. Well, this caller is Lulu.
Hi, my name is Lulu, and I've been watching your radio shows recently and really enjoying all the information. I've been following Standing Rock quite closely myself. And although I would be a liability if I was out there, I am with them in spirit and doing all I can here to divest and spread the word and donate. Anyway, my question was about a guest you had on from up in my area, Shasta County, Dane Wingleton. I don't know. I could not understand his last name. I was Wingleton or something. So I don't think I spelled it right. And I, he also gave a website or something where I could go read about all his material. And so that's what I was actually calling to get that information. And I looked around on your site on Facebook and couldn't find it. Maybe I need to go to, let's see, Arodana webpage for you. So I'm going to check that out next. Okay, I was just wondering what your hours were, actually, so that was the other thing. I didn't see any hours, and that's it. But I'll go to your webpage. It's probably all there. All right, well, I'm really appreciative of you guys. I know you're just doing this because of your love of humanity and the need for good news and honest news and not bought and sold and paid for. So I appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for your messages. Luis Fernando Venancio. O Brasil é país extremamente corrupto. And Mexico, too. I mean, all through Latin America, we have these same problems, Luis, because of these giant companies, these corporations, and these foreign interests that are constantly imposing their will in our country. Nemo, if you could drop the article of the elf in the shelf in there. I have the link in the in our document, our shared document. Put it in the comments for folks. Also, geoengineeringwatch.org. She was talking about Dane Wigington. And yes, all of that information is on our webpage along with the broadcast that we did that day.
The podcast, yes.
The podcast and the video. So you can go watch the whole thing again. You can go to kpppfm.com and click on the Mexican Crossing Lines.
Updates on Standing Rock. And it's updates called the Surveillance State.
Surveillance State. That was the name of the show.
It was published on December 20th. So it's actually only a few shows down. Well, actually, it's at the top of the page. So you can find it there. And then you can find the actual website you're looking for right there. So hopefully you're listening. So we answered your question.
Yeah. Okay. So next, go to the next question or the next comment.
Okay. We have one more comment from our comment line, and this person didn't leave a name. I called him Deep Voice.
Deep Voice.
This has to do with Standing Rock, and I would like to ask all of you that are possibly listening, if this is played on the radio, has anyone ever thought that the flooding is actually a ploy? It's none of itself. Maybe it's to get the camp away from the waterway. Who ever heard of an offshore drilling stopped by the ocean underneath it? Honestly, what makes people think that a little flooding will stop them from drilling? This is a $1 billion investment. Come on, it's all being smart now.
Well, I don't disagree with what he said.
No, I don't either.
I don't think that they're going to stop. They're going to be stopped by anything other than you and me, us. I don't think he's a troll. I think he's asking an honest question, Sarah. And the question was, do we really think that the Energy Transfer Partners and Dakota Access Pipeline would stop simply because the Army Corps of Engineer floods the area? Because that's what the Army Corps of Engineer has been saying. You know, don't worry about it. We're gonna flood this area and we're gonna stop them. They're not gonna continue drilling. We did not give them the easement, and we've also heard Energy Transfer Partners say we're going ahead with our project and nobody's gonna stop us and we don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't believe that. You know, I wouldn't put it past them to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put any past them to do anything underhanded, illegal, what have you. Not the company or the government, to be honest with you. So, what's our number and information? People are asking, how can they get a hold of us? How can they call into the call-in line?
One moment, I'll let you know. You can call the call-in line at 701-566-0917. Again, that's 701-566-0917. You have about 3 minutes to leave a message. If you want to tweet us, you can do it at media_PPP. If you want to email Cindy, it's cindy@kpppfm.com or me, duke@kpppfm.com. Find out what's going on with what's going on the radio and the organizations. Follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can. And always go to kpppfm.com and look at the podcast links and look at the updates in Standing Rock to see what we're producing on a daily basis.
Yes. And so here's a question that I had about the show that we did on the Surveillance State with Tim. Jordy MacArthur from Norway, I think, or, oh God, Jordy, I forgot where you're from. but anyway, Jordy, sent me a question about social media, and he said, is it not possible for us to set up and use our own social network bypassing the need for using Facebook? And then he gave me a link to kiltr.com, www.kiltr.com. It kind of looks kind of like a different form, like of not Instagram.
One of those social
Tumblr.
Networks. Tumblr. Okay.
It kind of looks like Tumblr. Glasgow. Hi, Jordy. There he is. Glasgow, Scotland. That's where he's from.
Okay.
Hi, Jordy. So, Jordy, let me answer your question. Here goes. And I signed up for it, by the way. I went and looked at the site that you sent me. I signed up for it. I took a look at it. There is a lot to be said, and I've had this conversation with many people. They're like, why don't you just use Periscope? Why don't you use YouTube Live?
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because everyone is on Facebook a large portion of the day. not everyone, but a large portion of people, millions and millions of people, are on Facebook, not just once a day, hours a day. It's kind of like having a beeper to the world, having a beeper that you can like beep all your friends at once, right? Just like you guys can all go to 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead on Facebook and subscribe, and it will let you know every time I'm going to do a live feed. It'll let you know every time I post something new, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like being able to go beep and alert all of the people in your social networks in an instant. And yes, Twitter works too, but how many of you spend hours a day on Twitter? Right? Am I wrong here?
No, plus there's a deeper issue. You know, to developing our own social networking that doesn't have the data mining is going to be impossible, because the data mining is going on beyond Facebook. I mean, basically the NSA, the NS snakes, I guess they're called, have been mining data for years and years and years. They used to just mine the data that was actually leaving this country, and so they would capture these emails. I mean, this stuff has been going on, and data is being collected on you. The Homeland Security Act, gave ISPs basically a mandate to turn over their data to the government. So basically being online on any device is being collected on you. So we can start our own social platforms and try to evade that, but it's not going to work because the technology is being vacuumed into these big data centers pretty much by our own compliance, because we haven't done anything about it and we feel helpless to do anything about it now. But it's being done, and will continue to be done unless we figure out different ways. And I do think that doing our own social networking is a great idea, but it's not really going to stop the core issue of all this information being taken from us without our consent.
There are a lot of things that are being commodified. So here we are, a huge social experiment, Ardell. We are. But let me go beyond that and tell you that we are now a resource. You are now a resource. You're like a nugget of gold or oil under the ground. You, your human body, your information. People are selling you and your information to other companies. You are now a resource. As valuable, if not more valuable than oil, because the extractive industries, coal, oil, all of that, natural gas, all of that is actually dying. The companies that are doing this work would have you believe that they're going to be around forever. Nobody can stop using cars. Nobody can stop using oil. We can't change to wind, solar, water, and all of these other renewable energy forms. We are never going to be able to achieve that. It's too hard. It's too expensive. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the will, blah, 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 blah. But it's all lies. We are running out of ways to do this. This tar sands, the way that they are extracting the tar sands oil, this is the dirtiest way of doing this work. And we're talking about fracking, which is poisoning all of our water and causing earthquakes. I mean, what we are doing at this point to continue to wring the last drops of resources out of our Mother Earth are becoming more vicious, more violent, and more disgusting and destructive. And we're going to eventually have to shift and stop. But these money-grubbing, greedy corporate, you know, oligarchs, they're not going to wait, and they're not going to stop before more damage is done. They're not going to stop until they've taken every last penny that they can out of the situation. So it really is up to us to look over the horizon at what the next move is for these oligarchs. Where are they going next to make their money? What are they privatizing next? And one of the things they're privatizing next, one of the things that they're making a big business off, is data. Big data. That is the new frontier for resource mining. And you're the resource. You're the oil. So companies have been doing this all over the world. My brother just came back from China. Gina.
Yeah.
Recently. he told me that that was the big thing in China, that they have a program, for example, that cleans people's excess stuff off their phone so that their phone doesn't keep telling them their storage is full. But in the process of doing that, it also collects all their private data, and then they sell that data, and that's how that company makes money. They created a free app that almost every single person in China is using. And then they turned all of that data into gold for the company. And this is the leading company, the leading tech company in China, the most powerful, the richest. You know what else is happening in China? The Guardian just printed a story today that says that in China, the environmental disaster is so great, people are now becoming refugees and having to flee.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's so horrible. Do you think that the people that are producing more and more waste and destroying the quality of the air and destroying the water, do you think that the corporate oligarchs that are running that country are going to stop because people are dying, because they literally are choking to death because they can't breathe the air? No, they're not going to stop because there's still money to be made. They will wait until we're all dead. So it's up to us to make sure that doesn't happen. Okay, next I want to give you some updates on water protectors. I don't want to show you any of the graphic photos of Sophia Wolanski's arm. She is improving her arm. I cried again when I saw it. I was just so distraught because it's such a horrible thing that was done to her. The violence that has been perpetrated over and over and over in escalating fashion by the Morton County Monsters and their allies, by mercenaries hired by Dapple, sicking dogs on people, shooting them with rubber bullets, constantly surveilling them, terrorizing them at night even with these helicopters so they don't get any sleep, putting these lamps, these high-powered lamps on them at all times, following people, profiling them in Bismarck and Mandan, having all these vigilante justice bigots bullying people, going after people, threatening people, like you saw was done to Dean, the drone pilot. All of that, all of the things that we've seen, the water cannons used, the grenades used, the way in which they were shooting people directly in the face with less than lethal rounds, making them lethal in the process. And nobody has had to answer for any of it. You're all waiting for Morton County to bring charges against their police departments. Well, I suggest you take a seat because you're going to get real tired.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to bring these folks up on charges. The police don't do their jobs. They never do their jobs anymore. Do you know why? Because 90% of cases are settled out of court. And that's true for criminal, and it's also true for district court. And what that means is that the prosecutors make deals. And the majority of the time, they are able to bargain more easily with people that don't have counsel, that don't have legal counsel or can't afford it, because those people don't have a way of defending themselves. So you know what? If you have a misdemeanor charge in this country, even if it's criminal, like trespassing, right? Or disorderly conduct, or one of the many misdemeanors that hundreds of water protectors were charged with in the state of North Dakota, okay? You don't have a right to counsel. Did you know that? Yeah. You don't have a right to counsel. That's only for felonies. It's only for felonies. So all those cop shows have been lying to you and telling you things that aren't true. And the reality is that is how the government likes to do it these days.
And plus, the government's not going to bring charges against themselves. The police aren't going to bring charges against themselves. You've heard the governors in North Dakota. You've heard the politicians. You've heard the Department of Justice saying that law enforcement is doing their job trying to keep people safe. They're not going to address these things that have happened. There are some civil lawsuits. There's the ACLU civil lawsuit, but that's much different than trying to hold these police officers accountable for their crimes. These are crimes, and that's going to be in a whole different courtroom, and it's going to take a long time. But we're not seeing anyone jump up in the government to charge the officers in Morton County and the people in charge of Morton County with any crimes. That just hasn't happened. It's not in the wind. No one's even talking about it. So you're right, Cindy. People will be waiting a long time to see if that actually happens. And I don't like it. You know, I'm not putting it down. I think they should be held accountable because they are criminal. They are criminals that need to be held accountable, but they're not going to hold themselves accountable by themselves.
No, and neither is the government. Neither is Facebook. They're not going to hold the cops that take over people's accounts and mess with people because they want to surveil you or they want to take down social justice movements or shut reporters up. They're not going to stop. They're not going to tell us that they're doing these things like the NSA has been lying to us, like our government has been lying to us. So that's our job now. It's your job to be the media, and it's your job to police the police, because they're not going to do that. You have to make sure that the crimes that are being committed find justice. I mean, I'm not telling you to go out like a vigilante and shoot people. I'm saying we need to be the investigators and we need to expose the crimes that other people are committing. It's up to us to do this. It's up to us to document. It's up to us to film them. It's up to us to expose it. And it is up to us to make sure that we call for legislative change, that we call for change of those who are in power, to remove those who are in power that are not willing to bring those to justice who commit crimes against the people. So we're the ones that are going to have to start investigating the crimes of Morton County, holding them accountable for what they did, at least in the court of public opinion, mm-hmm. in the country, in the world, so everyone will be able to see. And let me tell you why. Because one thing you cannot do is to bring the lawless to be given some form of justice. The police, as my husband stated, are not going to police themselves. They're not going to bring the charges on each other. And right now, we heard that Ohio... I played here on my radio program a recording of somebody from Ohio, a citizen of Ohio, talking to a water protector and telling them that the Ohio Highway Patrol is suing Morton County. I don't think they're bringing them up on criminal charges, folks. I think that those are civil charges. And I think that in that lawsuit where they have evidence of the fact that the Morton County monsters were giving people instructions about shooting unarmed, peaceful people in the head, in the back. If that case gets settled out of court, like 90-some% of all cases always do, we won't ever get to see that evidence or hear that evidence. That's why it is imperative for us to take all of the information that we have and put it out there and expose the truth. Regardless of whether or not these people are charged, we will all know who the criminals are. And we can treat them that way, whether or not they're wearing a badge. I'm not ever going to look at Laney, our sheriff, the same way after watching him direct a bunch of Fargo police officers to beat unarmed, peaceful people. He's a monster to me. I am terrified of him and Kyle Kirchmeier and all of those goons that he had out there beating people. They are terrifying. And I have a right to be terrified of them. I have a right to look at them with fear. I don't look at them and think of dancing cops or cops that are handing out ice cream cones to people instead of tickets, or that are giving children toys at holiday times. I don't see that. I wouldn't take my child to go and get a toy from that monster. They scare me because they've done horrific things. And that's what we need to do. We need to expose them and all the bigots. Guys, we are entering Trump times. We cannot allow the things that are going on in America to continue. I want to share with you something that I'm sure you guys have all heard. But this is from a crazy woman in
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky.
In a JCPenney.
At a JCPenney, who went on a rant against two Mexicanas like me who were shopping. Now, to set this up, let me just tell you before I play this that he or the woman in that goes off got angry because as the woman in front of her, a Mexicana, was paying for her shopping, yeah, her gifts or whatever, the person she was with, her relative or friend, brought her some more items and gave them to her. And when that happened, the woman went crazy. So this is the audio from this ranting woman in JCPenney.
Like everybody else did, it starts back there. And it don't bother me if I say it, and I don't care if everybody hears me. I think everybody here probably feels the same damn way I do. Thank you. Let's go back to wherever the f*** you come from, lady. Y'all think you... Hey, tell them to go back where they belong. If they can't act like... If, you know, they come here to live, then act like everybody else. Get in the back of the line like everybody else does. And be somebody. And that's the way I look at it. You're a nobodies. Just because you come from another country, it don't make you nobody. Nobody, as far as I'm concerned. Probably on welfare. We probably, the taxpayers probably paid for all that stuff. It's true. They probably paid for we probably paid for every bit of that stuff. You know that? Probably all the food they get and everything else. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel.
I see so.
That's okay. Speak English. You're in America. If you don't know it, learn it. And I'm sorry that I'm that way, but you all need to realize you're not the only ones around here.
Right.
Wow. My live feed stopped.
Oh, no.
I know. It's getting sketchy.
Yeah, we're so, hitting that hour mark, so we'll probably cut it off in an hour. We've been lucky so far.
Yeah. So what are we going to do? I'm not going to allow people like that woman to get away with it. You know what was really disturbing about this video? Let me tell you what's disturbing. Why am I talking about bigots and bullies today? Because what was disturbing is that she was in a JCPenney in a line full of other people. And as this disgusting racist woman, did you hear her? She sounded like the judge in North Dakota that told those two water protectors to get a job. She said, "You're probably on welfare." Really? Really, Grandma? Well, then how come they're shopping? If they're on welfare, how come they're shopping for Christmas? Shut your face hole. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
And she's probably on Medicaid.
She's a racist. She's just a straight up racist. These are coded words. Welfare queen, right? So this is what you need to start doing. You need to interrupt racism where and when you see it. You need to interrupt bigotry. You need to interrupt bullying. It could mean somebody's life. It could mean somebody's life. What is so disturbing is that we have allowed this normalizing to take place over such a long period of time. Our police officers feel that they have the right to grab people on the street in broad daylight and beat them in public because everyone will just march on by and go on about their merry way and go shopping. And now, as we were watching everything unfold in Standing Rock and seeing how people were being beaten, even in Bismarck, the whole community that was right there in downtown Bismarck was ushered away. They were sent notifications. Don't come into this part of town. Scary protectors are here. Scary protesters are here. So that the people wouldn't see what the police were doing. And those who were downtown, those who did see, they were not, they weren't unified in protecting people from the police. They were, they stood by and watched or walked away, walked by as the police brutalized people. We are all responsible for allowing that to happen. And now we see that we cannot stand up to them anymore because we allowed this to happen for so long. So now they're going to repress us with brutality, with bullets, with gas, with mace, with sound cannons. That's how they're going to treat us if we try to come at them. So before it gets like that with the vigilantes in America, oh, hell, what am I talking about? It's already like that. You already got racists out there shooting at people because they don't like what they said.
Exactly.
But you need to, we need to stop this. We need to stem the tide. So I want to encourage every single one of you to use a few of the following tactics. First of all, take out your phone and film it. Take out your, film everything, for Christ's sake. Just film it.
Mm-hmm.
Film it. Every time you see somebody bullying someone, take out your phone and film it. The second thing that you need to do is go over and interrupt the discrimination. One of the most effective tactics to doing that is to simply ignore the racist. Go and pay attention to the victim. Go talk to the victim. Go, all of you, go show your physical support to the victim. So it doesn't matter if you're in a shopping center or if you're on a bus or if you're in a park. It doesn't matter where you are. Just go right over to the person and say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, my God, this crazy annoying person is bothering you. Do you want to come over here and have a drink with me or have some coffee with me? Would you like to, would you like to go for a walk? I wanted to show you something on my phone. Whatever the hell you want to talk about, just go and make the person that is being harassed feel loved, feel protected, feel comfortable. Get them out of the way of where the person is bothering them, or block them with your body.
Mm-hmm.
Be a physical barrier between the bigot, the bully, and the victim. And don't allow these people to get away with this. I've watched video after video after video of these entitled racists and bigots and bullies that are openly screaming at people on planes and in shopping centers, and all of the people sit there and say nothing. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We are supposed to do something about this. If you allow this to go on, we're going to have mass casualties in this country on a daily basis, not just from the cops anymore, murdering innocent black and brown people in this country who are unarmed and for no good reason. It's going to happen at the hands of vigilantes. We already have a Trump president whose main senior advisor has just met with a neo-Nazi group in Austria, the leader of a neo-Nazi group. So if you don't think that we're headed toward a police state where vigilantes think that they can actually go up to anyone that they want to and shoot them or kill them or harass them or threaten them or scream, bully them or say racist or derogatory things to them, you're wrong. It's already here. It's already here. And it's up to us to do something to stop it. So I encourage you to film all of it, interrupt hate. Send me your comments about how you've interrupted hate. Send me your videos about what kinds of things you're seeing. Send me your stories about what you're doing in your community to interrupt hate. And we especially need to do this in Bismarck. If you guys in Bismarck are listening, this is your moment. Do it through social media. Challenge the people that you know are bigots against the people that are water protectors at Standing Rock. We have the ability to change the people around us, but we have to start by holding people accountable. It doesn't matter if it's your dad. It doesn't matter if it's one of your friends. It doesn't matter if it's your old uncle. There is no proper age or time for you to be a bigot and a bully. Not because it's your husband, not because it's your friend. Call each other out in love, but call that stuff out. I do. I have. We can't have any anti-blackness in our Mexican and in our Mexican families. We can't have any of the bigotry and ableism. We can't have misogyny anymore. We don't need it. We can't have it in this country. We need to start to fight against it. We have to be the police. We have to be the media. Okay. Are you in this with me? Send me your comments and your stories about this. You've been listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And I'll be sharing more of your questions and comments on our upcoming broadcast. Thank you for being with us. And don't forget, Mini Wachoni, water is life.
I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake.
Okay, that's good. Let's try it again, maybe a little more jolly. Think Santa.
I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I watch you when you're sleeping. Oh, yeah. I know when you're awake. I know. I'm making a list and checking it twice. I'm going to find out who's naughty or nice.
Okay, I think maybe that's a little too intimidating.
Yeah, but if you don't mind me saying, I think it's right. You know, do you understand what Santa's saying here? He's making a list. Naughty, nice. He's detailed. He's single-minded. He's an eye in the sky bringing swift judgment.
Okay, but he's also bringing toys to children.
Not the naughty ones. Well, let me tell you something about that reindeer that ran over Grandma. I will look for him. I will find him. And I will kill him. But do you mind if I try something? And that's not a question. Release the Kringle.